Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of May, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. Solid State Radio, it is the Rick Emerson Show. To the mellifluous strains of Dream Theater, we begin another excursion into something similar to, but legally distinct from, broadcast excellence. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick at, it is not, as somebody speculated yesterday, rick@rickemerson.com.
That's what I call
only,
you.
Only Sarah Dillon's allowed to call me that. Nobody else. It comes dangerously close to being a pet name. It is not. Nor is it the name at which you should email me. It is, in fact, rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It's 503-733-2970 and so forth. You can also reach our website, by the way. It is 970.am, 970.am, or solidstateradio.am. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. I have here a story. Wait, no. No? Yes. I have here a story containing the phrase, authorities said the injuries were too gruesome to describe publicly. I got that. That's how you know it's gold. There's certain things I don't even... I was talking to somebody about this today. Certain stories, I don't even need to read the whole story. I don't even need to read the little one... You know, the slug? It, all I need is the keywords. You scan, you see part of a headline. And you hit print. You know what I mean? Doesn't even matter. I have no problem judging certain books by their cover. Like this. Like yesterday we had that... Child loses arm in chocolate factory field trip. It's fantastic. Yesterday we had the best monkey watch of all time. It was with that, the bear killed that monkey in front of all those horrified onlookers, and including small children who burst into tears. That's so good we're going to read it again today and pretend it's new. What else? Today, without fail, I swear on all that is holy, we'll get to that Rolling Stone stuff. Because if I don't, then Keith Richards is really going to die. And then it's just going to seem morbid. So we'll do it today. Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros. And watch in amazement as I tie it into the to a reference to the HBO series Entourage. That'll be happening later. We'll do a recap of all the swill that television networks are going to be foisting onto you later in the year. We'll talk about Patrick Swayze, hip-hop artist, and George Bush sending troops to be shot at everywhere. So all of that is coming up, as well as CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be here to talk about the stuff and things and whatever. Ed McCarthy, now this was not exactly what I was planning on. I had thought we were going to talk to Lisa Goddard about Tony Snow having a meltdown and weeping like a small child today in his first televised press conference at the White House. But regrettably, that did not happen. And he apparently acquitted himself in an admirable and professional fashion, rendering it completely pointless and uninteresting to me. Mm-hmm. So we will talk to Ed McCarthy, who, I swear to God, this is what it says. Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio Atlanta, who will be talking about pine gas stuff. I don't even know what that means. Don't have any idea. We'll find out. You'll be discovering it at the same moment that I am. Isn't that interesting? We got that coming up. What else? That's it. Other stuff, but, you know, what's the point? We got Like Us at 3, World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7, etc., etc., so on and so forth. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, producing the show admirably and capably, as she always does. How are you today?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you?
Here's the thing about Sarah Dillon that you got to know today. Now, I know that we have many people who express interest in the clothing selections of Sarah Dillon, because she's perhaps the most well-dressed person you've ever seen in your life.
Oh.
Now, I don't know what you... I have no idea what you were wearing on Coin this morning, because I don't care enough to get up and watch. I watched for like the first 2 weeks, and beyond that, it doesn't matter.
I don't either. I kind of threw something together.
It's all just a blur. But you're wearing... Now, Sarah is wearing... Now, is that one wife beater on top of another?
Yeah, I always layer them.
So it's multiple wife beaters. See, and I would never know what you... I would never know what's acceptable and what's not. So it's just one wife beater over another one, but they're of different sizes. So you can see them both. And then you've got bra straps sticking out. I mean, it looks fine and all. I'm just saying I would never know you could do that. Like, you couldn't just, like, I couldn't just wear two shirts, one on top of another.
Yeah, you could.
Two pairs of pants. It wouldn't make any sense. There are all these unwritten rules of fashion that I'm never going to know. I don't pretend to know. I just try to, and as time goes on, I just transition to more and more, like, just black colors. So it's like everything kind of goes together. But the point is.
No, because a lot of the time I'll just wear the one wife beater, but it's kind of see-through, and I don't want to prance around CBS radio, like, in a see-through top.
That's the way to the top, baby.
Yeah.
That's the way to jump security.
You'll be sitting next to Andy Rooney.
You'll be giving Maury Povich a rubdown. Anywho, okay, but you got the white beater that's got like a paint splatter motif on it. And I swear to God, for all the world, it looks like you've just been spattered with mud and ketchup.
It does. Like, I keep looking down at the corner of my eye, and I think I spilled something on myself.
You walk in, it was like, how am I going to tell her she's been splattered with goo? So you really look like some sort of a Pollock painting from the front.
Thank you.
All right. Tim Riley's at the City Desk working on the following stories to make your life better in every conceivable way.
A hiker who fell off a cliff in La Push, Washington, survives 3 days without food and water. The king of the progressive kingdom of Saudi Arabia warns the media to stop showing women. Paris Hilton's Mother's Day gifts are stolen. And Eva Longoria hates yellow egg yolks.
There you go, bringing you the news that matters, kids. It's 503-733-2970. All of that coming up, plus our good friend Dennis Pitzenberger is going to be in his house to answer your automotive. We actually do have actual questions for him today.
And perhaps some questions about breastfeeding.
Yes, perhaps that as well. That was Sarah Dillon who said that. We are continuing our countdown to the quit looking at your shirt. And put down that caffeine water. Did you not learn your...
I was crazy yesterday.
Okay, I want to note right now, on the counter in front of Sarah Dillon, you've got a bottle of caffeine water, and is that Mountain Dew?
It's Diet Mountain Dew, the best thing ever.
It's still loaded with caffeine, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
All the caffeine, none of the calories.
I mean, it's nothing compared to coffee, but I mean, as far as soda goes, Mountain Dew is kind of the top. Mountain Dew is the most caffeinated beverage that is not Jolt Cola. So you are now double-fisting it. You've got Mountain Dew in one hand and caffeinated water in the other.
Well, my house was just so hot, I couldn't sleep last night.
Yeah, what you want to be doing is drinking lots of diuretics when it's hot outside. Drink a lot of things that make you pee.
I have 3.5 bottles of this caffeine water, and then I'm trying to pedal home in 94 degree weather.
Yeah.
And it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You were vibrating, but you were like, it was like watching you by the end of the show was like watching, you were like Sarah Dillon in Squiggle Vision. You were just watching, you just sort of.
I don't, my hands were too, I had the jitters.
You looked like a Plimpton cartoon. You were just sort of vibrating back and forth in your chair. So, all right, I'm fine. You keep putting it down. I'm not going to be responsible for the consequences.
I'm just going to have two today.
Okay. Whatever. Well, that's fine. More coffee for me. Speaking of which, I did a post-analysis, a post-mortem of the coffee consumption yesterday. Sarah had none because she was busy pounding down what's it called?
Potenza.
Protenza?
No, Potenza.
Sounds very Italian.
Doesn't it sound like a male potency pill?
It really does. I don't think the name...
If you're looking for greater girth and stamina, try Potenza.
I'm sure it's a fine
product.
It's
kind of written in a scrawled medical font, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so she's pounding down this caffeinated water yesterday. Tim only had half a cup of coffee.
Yes, they always do.
I checked yesterday. Smokey and our colleagues, a couple, they didn't have any. And yet the thermos was complete. The pot was empty. And so the process of elimination indicates that was me that consumed all of that, which doesn't seem possible. And if it is possible, it certainly doesn't seem healthy.
We have 6 commercial breaks, and every commercial break you go and get another cup of coffee. I'm just saying, it adds up.
Well, maybe it's best left unexplored. In any event, and it's hot. Let's just say that right now and get it out of the way so we're not
old.
And
I'm old.
Shut your head. I'm getting it out of the way so we have to talk about it later. Lars in Utah, and so we were talking about...
Had to take all my knitting inside.
Shut your heads, all of you. I'm just trying to... No, Lars, she's in Utah. But she wasn't here, and it was... Look, you bastards, it was unseasonably hot. You got to talk about it, and it's what people are talking about.
It beat the record by 7 degrees.
It's relatable. So I'm on the phone with Lara last night, and she's like, so how are things? I'm like, oh, it was so hot. Oh, I had to take a schwitz, you know, and I...
You have an air conditioner.
Yeah, and I turned it on. She actually asked me, though, during the phone call. She's like, are you talking to me about the weather? It's like, I've totally just become a boring old person. Anyway, yes, I did turn on the air conditioner. I walked in the house last night. I got home at like 7:30, bicycled home. Boy, that was fun. Sweating out buckets of saline. Walk in the front door, though. Wham! Right to the big red on button. Boy, that's satisfying. I'm an American consumer whore. I will use air conditioning 24 hours a day if I feel like it. I'll turn it on in December if I want. Bow before me, for I live in America. All right. Well, whatever. We should go to, ladies and gentlemen, blah da da blah da blah, city desk, blah da blah, Tim Ryan.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Ryan.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk news beat, Tim Ryan reporting. A hiker who fell from a 25-foot-high cliff in La Push, Washington, and broke her leg.
La Push?
La Push. It's very French.
And it sounds like a gay porn director.
It does, doesn't it?
Good, I am Fifi La Push. I have come to Fifi La Push and Sheila Beef. I'm going to be doing a film together.
Well, Fifi La Push broke her leg and was spotted on the beach below after she spent 3 days
her leg was spotted
food
on the beach
and water.
Oh, she was spotted on the beach.
With the leg still intact.
Why was she standing on a cliff?
Well, she fell off a cliff, or was pushed, for all that we know.
In La Push.
Her name is Dana Crane. She's from Brunswick, Maine, but she's a student at Lewis and Clark, of course. She was found yesterday by the Olympic National Park volunteer who was hiking.
You were almost doing that in, like, iambic pentameter there for a minute. Her name was Sheila Crane. She hails from Maine, but she goes to Lewis and Clark. Pa-pa.
I didn't even think of it that way. She was listed in stable condition and was being flown by the Coast Guard helicopter to Port Angeles.
Where was she at? La Beef?
La Push.
La Push?
La Push.
Okay, let's stop.
She has a broken leg, injuries to the pelvis, sternum, and lower vertebrae.
Okay.
She was standing on a rock that crumbled.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for. Waiting for the how did she fall off a cliff.
She was standing on a rock that crumbled under her feet.
Well, you go off the trail, you go beyond the fence, that's what happens. I'm not saying I don't have any sympathy, but I have no sympathy. I've told Laura, I am one of, you know that I'm one of the men of the great indoors. I don't hike, I don't camp. Something happens to her, my first question is going to be, was she on the trail? And if she was not on the trail, I will not come find her, nor will I have any sympathy for her.
Yep.
No!
You're someone who waits for someone to take a romantic stroll on the beach.
All I'm saying is, those, as every dad said and his Weird Al said, those ropes are there for a reason. You know what I mean? So it's did you go stand on a rock on the standing? It just sounds stupid. Standing on the rock on the edge of a cliff, right above a huge. See now I'm.
Well, that's
doing
what
it.
You do when you've made it to the top.
Now I'm standing it. Now I'm talking in pentameter. Standing on the rock on the edge of a cliff with the beach down far below. Ch-ch. Okay, I have to quit that now, or I'm going to be doing the whole show that way. Well, whatever. You stand on a cliff, you fall. What did she lay there for? How long?
3 days.
Well, whatever.
Meanwhile, another survivor, Richard Hatch, who won $1 million on the TV show, he'll get 51 months in prison for failing to pay income taxes on his earnings. He lied repeatedly and was caught.
How would you not? Everybody saw you win $1 million. You're on, the man isn't going to know? You're on CBS. 5 billion people saw you won $1 million. How is it not going to, how do you think it's not going to come to everybody's attention that you got to do that? You know, here's what I wonder. Is it true or is this an urban legend, Tim Riley, newsman?
Yes.
That when you are on The Price is Right, that when you win something substantial, say a Buick LeSabre, and you walk off stage, is it true that there is a tax guy right there?
I think that's an urban legend. I have never heard that.
Have you ever heard that?
No, have not.
I have heard that my whole life.
And I would have heard it living in LA.
I always heard this story. You know, when you win, and it's just more of that stuff that I heard growing up in a small town where, you know, because in a small town where everybody's poor and stupid, as in Kennewick, for example, there's all of this weird class envy and class hatred, but it comes out in these bizarre passive ways sometimes. And one of the ways that poor, stupid people, which I was for a great, for a long time, one of the ways that poor, stupid people make themselves feel better about being poor and stupid is to constantly talk about the hassles that come with having a lot of money. And so you'll see somebody like, I remember in Washington when they started doing the lottery. Back when I was a boy, when they started doing the lottery and they gave away $1 million to this woman, and we're sitting there, and of course we're all idiots and easily amused by flickering shadows in a box, and so we're sitting there watching this woman win $1 million on television, and they give her the big stupid cardboard check. And of course, what does my grandmother immediately bust up with? Well, she's gonna have to pay all those taxes though, you know, as though anyone cares. And so whenever we would watch game shows in our house, which was frequently because again, poor, stupid Kennewick, we would watch The Price is Right, and it's like somebody would win like a car or like the Showcase Showdown. Sometimes they would come within $100 and they would win both showcases, and that's fantastic. But I always heard
that when you were on a game show and you walked off stage, there was like the man from the IRS was standing right there to give you the bill for whatever you just won.
The only people backstage are Teamsters rating craft services.
And hookers for Bob Barker.
Probably.
All right, there you go. I always wonder about that. I mean, because it's like, if you win a car on a game show, do you have to pay a big chunk of money to the government for that?
Yes, you do, but not right up when you get off stage. Uh-huh. There's nobody back there.
So basically, you're having to pay to win stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You do pay taxes.
Right.
But backstage, there's nothing but Teamsters eating.
Okay.
I know that because one of my jobs was to guard the prizes back there at one time.
To guard the prizes on the prizes, right?
Yeah, because...
Did they give you a gun?
No, I was an unarmed prize guard. Well, the prizes have to be in order when they wheel them out. If they're out of order, then that messes up Bob.
Of course. and then Bob Barker goes on a rampage.
Yep.
What were you supposed to guard them with? Just harsh language or...
Yep.
Glares? Don't touch those.
Somebody just had to be sitting there to guard them and make sure they weren't out of order.
That's a sweet gig if you can get it. Have you ever been on a game show?
No, but it was an all-night job and I was exhausted for the rest of the day.
All right. Has anybody here been on a game show? That's
just
sad.
Like Jen Lane's Barfly once.
But I mean, did anybody here know anybody who's been on a big televised game show?
I knew somebody who was on one of those dating games.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my friend was on Blind Date.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Was she a hoe?
No, she wasn't. He was an ass.
Oh, that seems, seems likely.
No, he's from Bremerton, and him and all of his friends made a pool to see, like, they had up to $400, and they had a list of things for him to do, and if he would do certain things, he'd get a certain amount of money.
All right.
It was pretty awful.
All right. Yeah, one of my goals is to be, I think I'd stand a pretty good chance of getting on, Price is Right. I think I'm full of charisma.
Well, we all stand a chance, well, most of us, getting on that new, Livingston movie. That was filmed here.
Yeah?
Yeah, except for me. I'm the lone guy who's
Tim,
not
our
in
scenes
that.
Are gonna be cut.
You're the only one in Portland who's not in that movie.
I know.
And of course, our scenes are going to be cut because we're talking about it.
No, you're sitting
right
next to him. Though. I was a Vietnam War protester.
Oh.
Yeah, but see, you
I could
you
be
got...
cut.
See, if we'd really been thinking, I would have
no,
I'd been thinking, I would have been in it because then we could have done a premiere. It could have been like, starring Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, Rick Emerson, and Ron Lemus. But now it's not going to
happen. Why can't it just be Tim Riley and Sarah Dillon?
Like anybody go see that. No, I'm screwing with you. I'm all embittered because I forgot to do it. Because you told me about it. And I'm like, I filed away, like, note to self. And then, like, I looked up a week later and it was too late. So, what were we talking? Here's Tim Riley. I don't even know what we're talking about.
A Sile man is dead in his head injury when a pickup truck fell on them. Terry Joseph Hughes and Nicholas Hughes were working Saturday evening on the truck, which was suspended above them on a vehicle hoist. The supporting arms collapsed, and the truck landed top of them.
Well, I shouldn't laugh. When you said fell on them, I just sort of pictured it falling out of the sky, Army of Darkness sky.
Well, no, that really doesn't happen. That only happens in cartoons. Okay. This is like, Tom and Jerry.
This is where? It was on a vehicle hoist?
SIO, yeah. SCIO.
Where is that?
I've seen a sign for it somewhere near Tigard.
Okay.
It's one of those places nobody goes to. apparently, they ran a small engine repair shop. Dave, did you know that today is election day? Nobody cares, really. Only 23% of ballots have been mailed, the rest thrown away. Nobody knows any of these people who are running.
We've got this. Rick, yesterday a woman was dangling her feet in a pool of alligators. Today a woman is standing on a rock over a cliff. Is the gene pool getting too shallow?
There have been no fresh alligator killings today, by the way.
No. Although...
The alligators have been warned.
No. No, today it's all bears and monkeys.
Monkey eating.
Yeah.
So... time for the Bush Watch.
He's the president. Bush Watch for Tuesday. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard. That's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House. That's all my own. I'm going to miss this. That's my
Bush. We have a long time to go. We have like 3 more years of
Well, and then as Bruce Agler pointed out, it's probably going to be Jeb. Jeb's going to be at least running against Hillary. I pray to all deities now. If Jeb Bush was to run against it, can you imagine another Bush Clinton? I mean, a Bush Clinton, it makes me all tingly.
Let's not forget Condi Rice.
Oh, no, she's not going to do it. Condi Rice won't run, which is too bad because that's the Republicans' only hope of winning. Condi Rice is the only woman, the only person probably right now that could beat Hillary Clinton. You know it's true.
Well, the president is repeating a vow that there will be no militarization of the U.S.-Mexican border. Seeking to stem the flow of immigrants, Bush is sending up to 6,000 National Guard troops to the border. In the news conference yesterday, Bush called it an interim service until more U.S. Border Patrol agents can be hired.
The program to put guard on the border is one that will
enable the Border Patrol to do its job better.
These words are being fed to me slowly.
That was a whole sentence.
At a time through an earpiece. I don't know what I'm talking about.
The program.
I cannot read these cue cards.
On the border is one that will enable the Border Patrol to do its job better.
So
that was exhausting.
Let me understand. It's just like he's having to squeeze them out painfully through some sort of orifice in his forehead. So let me understand this. So he is claiming that we are not militarizing the border as he is sending the military to the border. Okay, just checking.
Yes, he says the actions will not bring a military presence to the border.
By sending the military to the border.
We're not going to militarize our border. Mexico is a friend. But what we are going to do is use assets necessary to make sure that we can assure the American people that the border is secure.
Mexico is like a, but isn't Mexico like a friend that's always hitting up for cash, though?
It never pays it back.
No, Mexico is one of those, they are, now to be fair, I think we gave them like $20 million or something a couple years ago, and I do believe they paid it back on time. That is, to be fair, I think that's true. But let's just call it what it is. You know what Mexico is like? Mexico's like that friend that's always coming over. Doesn't really borrow a lot of money from you, but it's always hitting you up for like $1.50 for the bus.
And we give them payday loans.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a whole lot of, do you have like just kind of like 50 cents? I'm short on some smokes. That's what Mexico is. Mexico is like that guy downtown. He's not asking you for $1,000. He's saying, can I have $1 for, do you ever get those homeless guys downtown? They've got the ridiculously exact amount of money that they're looking for. Sir, do you have 67 cents? I need to get some hot wings, you know, or whatever it is. They're looking for some small exact. They're like, Mexico is like that guy, but then also with like a bunch of kids. And he's always dropping by your house to borrow $1.75, and his kids are going through and like breaking things in your kitchen. That's what Mexico is.
Well, here's a typical example why nothing gets done in this issue. Arizona Republican Congressman John Shadegg says we need to look at why people are crossing the border.
Most of the people who are here illegally did not come to become citizens. They weren't a part and weren't looking for a new place to live or make home. They didn't migrate here to become Americans. They came for a job.
They came for my air conditioning. That's what they want. Like they have air conditioning in Mexico? No. They want my air conditioning. And those little stuffed olives you can get at 7-Eleven now that are fried.
Governor Schwarzenegger is questioning the president's decision to use the troops.
Oh,
four. We have a problem because we are a state that is by nature a state that is always has some kind of a natural disaster. And for that, we need the National Guard to help us with those kind of emergencies. So if we take now 6,000 or 7,000 in Iraq, then you take another 6,000 to the borders, what do you have left?
Just a scary world when you listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger as the voice of it. Doesn't it seem stupid that we elected that guy? Well, we didn't elect him. But somebody as a governor? That's just a moment of national and of psychosis there when everybody thought that was a great idea.
If Vin Diesel would have run, he might have won.
Yeah. Hey, I know some news about Vin Diesel.
Oh, do you?
You guys won't care about it. Who wants to know some secret Vin Diesel news?
Me.
It's not personal. It's professional news.
Of course.
All right. I'm going to spoil everything right now. Ready for it? It's a film spoiler. Mm-hmm. You want to know? Should I say it?
Yes.
Sarah?
I really don't care either way.
So Vin Diesel makes a surprise appearance at the end of the new Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Fine.
Okay.
What else is he doing?
Nothing. Nothing at all. No, he's playing Hannibal, isn't he? In that new, isn't he playing Hannibal in the new, the Hannibal film? Not Hannibal Lecter.
Oh.
No, so Hannibal the... No, the Hannibal, the guy, the conqueror warrior guy.
Nobody cares.
On the elephants going through the Alps or whatever.
Nobody cares.
History. All right, I don't know anything.
We have the new White House press secretary, Tony Snow, getting off to a smooth start in his first on-camera news briefing.
I feel so loved.
Welcome to the White House press.
Thank you very much. Well, it's good to be here. Thank you, one and all.
Like opening at the Sands?
Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you. Come along. Joey Bishop, ladies and gentlemen.
That's your Bush Watch.
All right, there's your Bush Watch.
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my bird.
All right, coming up, Ed McCarthy talking about pine gas stuff. Smile, happy family, fun surprise wish show. And so forth. We'll talk to Hank. There's a suggestion for Gator Watch theme or title or something or other. Coming up later on, we'll redo yesterday's Monkey Watch because it's fantastic. And a story featuring the phrase, authorities said the injuries were too gruesome to describe. That's coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Now you know you created me. I'm a
Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There it is. There's the list I was looking for. I have goods and services to give away. Right there, and there's the list. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can email if you want, and you can also reach us via MySpace. Join the chattering mindless herd. MySpace.com/... Well, there's like 80 of them. Just go to RickEmerson.com. There's a whole list. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. We are going to redo yesterday's Monkey Watch. We have Patrick Swayze, hip-hop artist. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Let's go now to the South to our man Ed McCarthy right there in Atlanta. How are you, sir?
Hey, Rick. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. And when I say not a whole lot, I mean I have no idea what you're talking about. And let me explain what I mean by that. So we were talking to our good friend Laura Caviezel at CNN. Where is she in Atlanta, too?
Yeah, she is. She's the producer.
All right, so she's right there.
Didn't call to tell me I had the live shot yesterday.
No, see, so I... Laura, you know, you just don't let her get away with that. You go straighten her out.
That's what we did.
Okay, so here...
That's a little scary.
Okay. We went and we talked to her. We explained how things work. So we talked to Laura this morning. I'm like, well, we should talk to Lisa Goddard and see if Tony Snow imploded and see if he just, you know, see if he did anything horrifically embarrassing. And she said, no, you don't want to do that. She said, forget that Lisa Goddard. You want to talk to Ed McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Ed McCarthy's fantastic, but why, pray tell, would we want to talk to him today? And I swear to God, this is what she said. She said, you want to talk to Ed McCarthy because he's talking about, I'm quoting now, pine gas stuff.
Yeah. That was me. I can't blame her for that.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means, but she was selling it to me, so I wanted to pretend I knew what I was talking about.
Well, we came up with this one today. We stumbled on this one, as a matter of fact. You know, you always talk about the South. We got so many pine trees down here. It's unbelievable. Now we got the Forestry Commission down here, and they're going to start a project. With about 3 years from now, they're going to be able to get ethanol and use it in your car for gasoline. Just like, you know, they get it from the corn.
Okay, do you have pine trees in the South?
We have more pine trees than you can shake a tree at.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
All right. I guess in my head, it's just the land. You just, I guess when I picture the South, never having been there, I am a Yankee. And I guess I just picture it covered in swamp and vines.
That's further south. That's Roop's territory. Not mine.
Everything wrapped in kudzu. Do you have kudzu?
That's where Roop goes. He does that kind of stuff. He does the swamps. I do the pine trees.
All right. So, but haven't we been hearing this for years? Like, what, years ago, wasn't it that they were going to turn corn cobs into gas or something?
Yeah, well, that's it. They're talking about how expensive it is, how the price of corn and the ethanol went up when they were doing this thing.
Right.
So, you know, he thought, wow, there's another source, but it's going to cost more than regular gas. So now they're talking about the pine trees. And they say the pine trees, they just get the sugar sap out of the thing, and they work it with Georgia Tech. They're going to turn it into ethanol, and it's going to be a lot cheaper because they say you don't have to use any fertilizer or anything like that for all of the trees that are growing, and they're all over the place.
Well, fair enough. I guess, I'm not a learned man.
Yeah,
but I guess I just don't understand, like, why everything just isn't run by the sun by now. You know what I mean? I don't mean to sound like a hippie or anything. It doesn't seem like the sun should be able to run everything on Earth.
Yeah, 1965, they were going to have cars that were going to fly, didn't they?
That's what I'm saying. So I'll believe this when I see it. And the only reason I'm so skeptical is because I remember when I was... This is like the third time that I said this. When I was a boy, there was this program that they aired on television. It was called 321 Contact, and it was like a science program for young people. And I remember on this program talking about how they were going to cars of the future, by which they meant like 10 years, were all going to run on ethanol or corn or whatever. And now here we are like 25 years later, and they're talking about it like still 3 years away. And it's all, I don't know, I'll believe it when I see it, Ed.
Oh, I know. But at least, you know, they get you excited. And they think, oh, well, maybe we won't have to pay as much for gas.
Maybe. But you know what? Then Karl Rove was just going to buy up all the pine land everywhere, and we're going to be screwed again. Let me change the subject real quickly and ask you about this. We haven't talked about this Duke lacrosse thing much, just because there hadn't been a whole lot. But so they've indicted this guy, David Evans, who was the leader of the Duke lacrosse team,
yeah,
the captain or something. And he says, you know, I'm innocent of all the charges and whatever. And I mean, it's So this is just going to become one of those long, drawn-out things and whatnot. But, I mean, is it? Is this? Does it seem like everybody involved in this case is sort of an unlikable person to one degree or another? Everybody on both sides of this case, they all seem kind of scummy to one degree or another.
Well, the defense attorneys say they don't have a case at all because the DNA doesn't match any of them. And this guy just keeps going. You know, he's getting one, and you don't know whether he wants to pit, you know, each guy against the other guy or what's going on. And, you know, it's just, he says, now this is the end of the indictments. There won't be any more. But the fact that they got three and they, you know, had two separate sets of DNA testing and they went nowhere. I don't get it. I don't know. A lot of people are just really wondering about what's going to happen.
Somebody running for election or something down there?
Nifong, he is. Michael Nifong, the district attorney.
Well, there you
running
go.
For election, re-election.
That kind of explains it. All right. Ed McCarthy, my friend, thank you so much for clearing up the pine gas stuff. All right. There you go. Live from Atlanta, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Yeah, I dig that guy. You know.
On the phone, he's like, I was asking him about what it was about. He's like, well, I have plenty of gas, Sarah.
Okay. He's a chortler. It's not, he doesn't really laugh or snicker so much as he chortles. By the way, speaking of Tony Snow, somebody said this. Let's see, this is from Richard. WTF, are you not paying attention? Tony Snow said, hug the tar baby during this morning's press conference. How the F can you not talk about that? Jeez. Well, did he say that, Tim? Do we know?
We don't know for a fact.
First I've heard of it. I don't watch the news. Let me take this. So derailed. Hi, Hank, Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello, Mr. Emerson.
Hello, Hank.
I had a Gator Watch name for you.
Oh, this is okay because the Gators. Now they haven't killed anybody today, but the day's not over yet.
Well, I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. We got to be prepared. So yesterday we had Gator Aid, we had Alligate, and we had the best one so far has been Gator Done. Which I have to admit that I kind of snickered at a little bit. So what do you got?
All right, this has just got a little bit of a build up to it.
All right.
In the water, it waits just beneath the surface. On land, it can move up to 40 miles per hour and leap into the air. Its jaws snap with 3,000 pounds of pressure. It's the Termigator.
Say that last part just one more time.
The Termigator.
There you go. That's really what you were waiting for, right? That's what you wanted.
That was it.
He has a radio voice.
No, it's true. Say this. Say, in an outpost on the edge of space.
In an outpost on the edge of space.
You could do that. You could be a big voice guy.
Yeah,
you could be one of those guys. All right, Termigator.
Cool.
All right, thank you, Hank.
Thank you very much.
Right, there you go. I appreciate that. All right.
You kind of sound like Clyde.
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, I forgot to ask McCarthy about this. I'll just read this. Gunfire at Waffle House. Really, what else do you need to know beyond that?
I mean, that's sacred to a Southerner. We're Southern their own church.
You can do a lot of things, but I don't want to hear no ruckus at the Waffle House. Gunfire at Waffle House after whites and Hispanics argue over citizenship. It's a place of... It's a real forward-thinking place, the South. Parting gunshot from a vehicle leaving a Waffle House in West... Oh, I'm sorry. Not leaving a Waffle House. Leaving Waffle House. Apparently, Drudge has just decided not to use any sort of... He's not going to use any auxiliaries here. A parting gunshot from vehicle leaving Waffle House in West Asheville, North Carolina, shattered a window and caused a minor injury. Now, listen to this. The shooting happened at 3 a.m. Saturday at a Waffle House in North Carolina. That's just got to be all kinds of stench. Saturday, after a group of whites argued with a group of Hispanics at a 24-hour restaurant on Smoky Park Highway, Asheville Police Lieutenant Wallace Weld said, listen to this, listen to what the cop says. Quote, the two groups were jawing back and forth with each other over citizenship issues and whatnot. When did it become like a rule that everybody who's dumb has to end their phrases with and whatnot? End quote. Welch said, blah, 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 as the Hispanic group drove off, someone in the vehicle fired at least once into a large window near the front of the Waffle House. Blah, 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 blah. All right, well, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Monkey Watch.
Let's replay yesterday's Monkey Watch. This is Monkey Watch Redux, because it's just that good. You may have heard this yesterday at around 2:50, but it was such an exceptional Monkey Watch, perhaps the definitive Monkey Watch.
It knocked the alligator eating to the back burner.
It's true, because as Tim Riley noted, monkeys have been getting away with a whole lot in this world.
And I hope all monkeys are paying attention and heed this little warning.
Seriously, it's about time that some monkeys got their comeuppance.
It's about time they were bitten back.
Okay. Here you guys, Tim Riley.
Well, this is bears eat monkey in front of zoo visitors, free with a general admission.
Yeah.
Comes to us from Amsterdam, which in the Netherlands, which is very liberal, apparently. Bears killed and ate a monkey at a Dutch zoo in front of horrified visitors, witnesses, and zoo patrons said yesterday. This happened at the safari park with several sloth bears chasing a Barbary macaque monkey.
We never got a definitive pronunciation on this word. It's
doesn't matter. It's dead now.
It's on a Barbary dead thing. It's M-A-C-A-Q-U-E. It's one of those words that looks like it was just made up of random crap at the bottom of a Scrabble bag. Like, you don't, I don't even understand. Like, my mouth can't even. It's like I get halfway through it and my mouth just stops. I don't even know where to go with it. Macaque.
Well, anyway, they chased this monkey into an electric fence where it was stunned. It recovered and ran onto a wooden structure where one bear pursued and mauled it to death.
Yeah.
The park confirmed the killing in a statement saying, in the area were sloth bears, great apes, and Barbary macaques were coexisting peacefully for the longest time. The harmony was temporarily disrupted during opening hours on Sunday. Ignoring attempts by keepers too distracted, the bear climbed onto a horizontal pole and, standing, stretching on two legs, used its sharp canines to pull the macaque from its perch. The bear then brought the animal to a concrete den where three bears happily ate it.
The best part is that another story I read where they said there was a group of children there on a field trip from a school, and the children began crying helplessly.
They were scarred for life.
Oh, it's fantastic. Also in this other article that I read, they said that, it's not in this piece, but I read this other piece about it where they're talking about the monkey being attacked by the bear. They're talking about how the monkey, like an idiot, the bear is chasing it. The monkey, and you always hear about it, well, monkeys are very,
It is a monkey, yes.
A monkey, you always hear about it, they're very smart, right? You always hear that monkeys are very intelligent. They have human-like intelligence sometimes. Not so much, because he apparently didn't know what an electric fence was. Runs right into the electric fence, and then there's a whole lot of like, whoa, that had a, and it was just, while he was sort of stunned, the bear is like, well, all right, if you're not going to run anymore, and just like, wham, and just totally goes after the monkey.
So he gave him a running start.
The monkey had ahead. If the monkey hadn't run into an electric fence, he would have gotten away with it. It's his own fault. So the monkeys.
There wasn't a warning sign.
The monkey's at the top of a post, and the bear, like, takes his teeth, and bear teeth are, you know, they are not negligible. They are large. So the bear,
the monkey's teeth.
The bear, like, crunches down on the monkey and begins yanking away from the pole. And then this article said, quote, he then pulled down the monkey, who seemed to be resisting, which is fantastic. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick.
Yeah.
Of course, I got to turn on my radio. Hold on.
George, do you have like your own line or something? Is that what it is? Is this? Like,
yeah.
Do you have like some secret?
I have a direct line to the man himself.
Because it's like we'll throw out a question and literally, like I will get these emails from people like, well, I tried repeatedly to get in today and the phones were busy or I was not able to get in or I dialed over and over but everything was I couldn't get through. But it's like every time you pick up the phone, you've got some super phone that just overpowers everybody
kismet,
else.
Kismet, my friend. Kismet.
All right. Well, what do you got?
It's pronounced macaque.
Really?
Macaque. Is the correct pronunciation. It's the only monkey native to Europe, actually.
Are you sure that that's how it's pronounced?
Macaque. Absolutely. As God is my witness.
Where are you getting this this pronunciation from?
I'm getting it from the British fellow on OPB who says, the macaque is the only monkey native to Gibraltar. That kind of guy. So I know I'm what I'm talking about. Nevertheless, I have a bone to pick with you, my friend.
Hold on, but before we proceed here.
Yes.
You are saying it is pronounced M-A-H hyphen K-A-K.
That would be correct. That's the phonetic.
Macaque?
Macaque.
You have to quit saying.
And they are native to Gibraltar, which is southern Europe, so they're the only monkey that comes from Europe.
All right, hold on. I'm going to see if I can get a, I'm going to see if I can get a little pronunciation going on here. All right, what is your bone to pick?
Yeah, are you not telling us to spread the word?
I am.
Yes, and you wish to do so. Well, I spread the word to one Mr. Epstein who markets that potenza, and I told him that you had come up with this brilliant idea years ago, and that you would have an affinity for this product.
Sarah loved the product. Sarah loved the potential.
Sarah loves the product, yet you spent the entire last segment of the show bagging on it.
I did not bag on it. I just said that it was not, that it, I could tell. Now, to be fair, and as I say, this is not a plug. We are simply speaking about this.
Well, no, because you're speaking poorly about it, I loved it.
I'm just saying that I'm making an observation here. What do they call it? Consideration here. But Sarah had been drinking this caffeinated water, and you will note, by the way, that the observation I made was that it claimed to taste just like normal water and that you couldn't tell anything was in it, which I do not believe is true. I do believe that you can tell that there's something in it. It has a little bit of a taste to it. While discussing what I felt to be perhaps a downside to the product, I did not use the name. You will note that I was
very... That is true, but now everybody knows
it. Well, but Sarah loves it, though. And really, who would you rather be, me or Sarah? I mean, come on.
Some word of mouth is better than none at all.
It's awesome. Yesterday I was hydrated and caffeinated.
Sarah consumed like 50 bottles of this stuff. She's drinking it right now.
Great. Well, I do believe he'd be willing to drop off a case per month at your...
That
is not quid pro quo.
It is just
support...
We, of course, follow all CBS radio rules and regulations regarding the giving of products.
Of course not.
And we don't play Ashley Simpson.
We don't play Ashley Simpson.
All right. I think I better leave now.
All right, I have to go now. Thank you. And bye. Okay. Here we go. Let me find the pronunciation. Sarah, is my computer turned up?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to find the...
Macaque.
Macaque is what it is.
What you said, macaque.
Macaque.
So, Barry, macaque?
The worst person ever.
You know you wanted to
macaque.
Say
Macaque. We're all amazed, aren't
we? A berry.
Macaque.
Okay.
Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, Paris Hilton's mother can only imagine what her celebrity daughter got her for Mother's Day. That's because thieves stole the gift before Kathy Hilton received them. The gift bag contained nearly $10,000 worth of Christian Dior shoes, sunglasses, handbags, and perfume. They were taken from outside the Hilton home. The younger Hilton spent 3 or 4 hours shopping to put together this wonderful collection for her mom. But a delivery person set the package down just outside the home's gate to ring the intercom, and a passenger car whizzed by and snatched the gifts right there and then.
From who? From where? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
It's Paris Hilton's Mother's Day.
Well, whatever. Okay. Hey, did everybody see that picture of Paris Hilton where she doesn't look ugly?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Did you see it? It's at rickemerson.com, Sarah Dillon. Now, Sarah Dillon, typically, you revel in celebrities who look hideous.
It's true. But, I have a great one of Fergie that I need to post today.
But now you did. Now, did you post that picture of Christina Aguilera?
Not yet.
She looks really good there.
Yeah, I'll do that.
She's kind of doing that Marilyn Monroe post. Okay, go to rickemerson.com.
Right now?
Yes, everyone do it now.
Okay.
I have this blog entry called Parallel Universe Paris Hilton. And I write, apparently if you catch her in the right light, she doesn't look like a wildebeest. And I'm looking at it now. It is worth noting that about half of her face is covered, which is maybe why she looks so good here. But she actually looks, in fact, here's the thing. She looks really good, and to the point, she looks good to the point that I didn't know it was her. Like, somebody sent me this photograph, and they were like, guess who this is? And I email back, and I'm like, I don't know, it's just some generic model, and it's Paris Hilton. I had no idea it was her, because normally when I see Paris Hilton, it's just sort of a flesh-crawling revulsion. But not so here. Although, and I realize that you can't see this because it's the radio, but you will understand when you look at this photo.
Theater of the mind.
It is a theater of the mind. When you look at this photograph of Paris Hilton that I have posted on my website, you will note, I am fascinated, and not for the... prurient reasons that one might suspect. I am fascinated by brassiere technology. It really is, like the cream of our engineering talent clearly goes into designing undergarments for women and supportive pieces of clothing. Because Paris Hilton seems like a somewhat modestly endowed woman most of the time. She does not seem to have an abundance of womanly curves on the upper half of her body. But you look at this photograph, and they're huge. I mean, they're massive. They're beyond massive. And I don't understand whether this is... I don't know if she's had a boob job, or if it's just the bra, or if it's some sort of... I just have no idea. But anyway, so you go check out this picture of the Paris Hilton. And then, by the way, I didn't label the picture. I didn't label the picture above her, the one entitled "Good God Almighty Part 2." I had a whole lot of people who didn't know who this was. That is George Michael, by the way, as a living lesson to all of us, as a walking cautionary tale, kids. Here's Tim Riley.
It looks like he's about to be torn apart by some bears in a amusement park.
Or that he's busy draining the blood out of someone to try to retain his life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he looks like he's waiting for Renfield to be next to him eating spiders. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the name of a new restaurant in Scottsdale, Arizona, is stirring up some trouble for the local folks. The Vegas-based Pink Taco Mexican restaurant is scheduled to open its second location in downtown Scottsdale in June. Nearly a half dozen people, a whole half dozen, in the upscale city recently expressed their objection to the name.
I'm horrified.
Claiming it's a derogatory slang term for a portion of the female anatomy.
That's not true. There's actually, it's a thing.
The city has received four whole emails, three of them with no names, objecting to the rest. I don't know why this is a story, actually.
I don't know.
The people of Scottsdale have a very fine reputation around the world.
Okay.
Let's keep those standards high. Let's say what plays in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Macaque.
Meanwhile, we have a photograph. Maybe we should put this one up too, of a Britney Spears driving her 8-month-old son seated facing the front of the car, sparking new controversy.
See, but that's a bunch of crap. I never understand exactly what, why, who knows what you're supposed to do with children. You know, I mean,
you're lucky you don't have them.
There's
plenty of rules to follow.
No, children. It's become, I will acknowledge this. Now, you know, I am not a child-having kind. No one here is the reproductive kind.
No.
But I will say, we are not breeders on the Rick Emerson program. But I will say that I do acknowledge this, that with every passing year, it seems like it becomes more and more difficult to raise children because every year there's just like new things you got to do and not do. It used to be, when I was a boy, when you would raise children, it was just, look, as long as you weren't hitting them with a closed hand, everything was sort of, and as long as you were feeding them at least twice a day, and they weren't actually having to sleep in a concrete cage, everything was fine. And now there's all of this, I don't even understand why they can't face the front of the car. Does anybody know?
These child safety advocates say babies under 20 pounds or younger than 1 year should have the car seats facing backward. That'd be a boring ride. Well, a photographer snapped the pictures of Spears driving her convertible Mini Cooper through Malibu, and she even has curlers in her hair, which apparently is against the law in Malibu also. If Spears had been stopped by a California police officer, it would have been their discretion whether to give her a citation or a verbal lecture.
Curlers.
Oh, these
in
are
her
California
hair.
Child safety seat regulations.
All right.
So they're not nationwide.
Okay.
Saudi Arabia's Kim Abdullah, under pressure from Islamists to curb reforms, has warned the media against showing pictures of Saudi women anywhere. Many Saudis have held hope that the king, who came to power last year, would loosen strict political and social mores, and the ultra-conservative kingdom, which imposes an austere version of Islam called Wahhabism. Newspapers have broken with tradition and have been frequently showing photographs of Saudi women, usually with their their hair covering their faces. But many consider that even morally wrong. So no more pictures of women, please. And the king better do something about it.
Okay.
Eva Longoria won't eat egg yolks because she hates the color yellow. She's starring opposite Michael Douglas in a new movie, The Sentinel. She confessed in the morning she always eats egg whites.
Who is this?
Eva Longoria.
Okay.
It all started back when she was a kid when her mother forced her to eat eggs that were yellow.
Okay, no one cared. Isn't Eva Longoria, wasn't she on the cover of some magazine the other day talking about how she was, I'm not trying to diminish anybody's suffering. Wasn't Eva Longoria, though, on the cover? Was it her? She was on the cover. She's the Desperate Housewives chick, right?
Yeah, she is.
She was on the cover of whatever, blah, 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 talking about how, you know, she was apparently abused or whatever as a teenage girl.
They all are.
Some relative or somebody couldn't.
Oh, that's Terry Hatcher.
Was that her? But she was like on the... But
Eva Longoria is the one dating the basketball player.
Well, but whoever it was, the woman was, I mean... I'm just saying, it seemed a little inappropriate. She's inside going, and then I was touched by an uncle, or whatever it was. And then she's on the front, though, with her cakes hanging out. Like, she's all in the front, like, looking like she's ready to go ride in a pole somewhere. And then on the inside, she's like, my innocence was taken, my flower was taken away from me. And in the front, she looks like she's just ready to be greased up. So, I'm just saying.
Maybe her shirt told her to do that to find closure.
Yes, okay. Closure. I got your closure. Closure the door. What are we doing here? Do we get anything done this hour?
Oh, we got quite a bit done. Yeah, I would say so.
We got, I guess we got some stuff accomplished.
Yeah,
I don't really know what it would be.
The barrel's full.
Macaque.
All right. It's 503-733. 2970. You can also email if you like it. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
We are so juvenile.
I didn't say anything. I, in no way have I said anything.
Macaque.
Here's what's coming up, kids, on this, the Rick Emerson radio program.
Don't hit it now.
Sorry. No, I'm not. What?
If you're saying here's what's coming up.
Oh, I don't hit it. Okay. So here's what's coming up. See, you're just doing it in your head now, aren't you? You're just,
yeah.
You're playing it in your head when I say that.
I know you are too. What's coming up, Rick?
Here's what's looming ahead. Here's what we're gonna be handling in the next hour.
What might that be?
Here are the items we're gonna grab a hold of in the next hour. Anyway. Jim Roop will be here from CNN Radio, Los Angeles. We're going to talk about George Bush sending blah, 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 troops to the border, blah, blah, blah. What else? We're counting down until they implode this the Trojan plant, and we got some more emails about that to get to. We still got to do the tabloid recap, which we did not get to yesterday. I got to give you a quick overview of everything that's lurking in the tabloids, including this Patrick Swayze story. Rolling Stone's top five. I swear to God we'll get to it today, because we've been teasing it since, like, Thursday. We will do the Rolling Stone's top five guitar introductions. We'll recap this news pile. And then later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here from the Portland Tribune. So stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. We return after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio.